If you go to New York City's Times Square, you'll encounter a lot of lights, a lot of noise, throngs of tourists and office workers, and guys hawking theater tickets. But these days, you won't encounter a tangle of cars, cabs, and buses. That's because last spring, the city government decided to close parts of Times Square to traffic and create pedestrian-only plazas. Rochelle Patterson works for the city. She says that the extra breathing space suits her just fine.
I always thought that 42nd Street was so congested. And sometimes you need a place to sit and just relax.
Now, New York is densely populated and people are used to walking to get around. It's busy here. But pedestrian malls in other cities have often attempted to bring crowds into areas that cities wish would be busier. A few decades ago, cities all over the country were feeling the pain as indoor malls opened in the suburbs, and lots of those cities hoped that pedestrian malls would make downtowns centers of activity again. Poughkeepsie, New York was one, and its mall did end up becoming a center of activity, just not the kind they were hoping for. The city shut down traffic, built a nice pedestrian walkway, but then things went wrong. The city repealed laws against public drunkenness and loitering, a county social services office moved into the mall, and then came drugs, gangs, and prostitution. Ron Knapp is the police chief in Poughkeepsie. He was just starting his career in 1974 when the pedestrian mall was first built.
You kind of had a tough element out there that you had to deal with, and as those laws loosened up, so to speak, it hurt the mall as the businesses further went out. You know, once you're in that downhill cycle, it's hard to stop.
In 1981, Poughkeepsie decided to reopen the area to traffic as a part of an effort to, again, revitalize downtown. Most of the 200 or so American cities that tried out pedestrian malls were not successful. Reed Ewing is a professor of city and metropolitan planning at the University of Utah, and he works with the American Planning Association.
Pedestrian traffic had been light before, and businesses hadn't been doing particularly well with people fleeing to the suburbs back in the 60s and 70s. And so the pedestrian malls actually exacerbated the problem.
People thought parking was a hassle, and the downtown pedestrian malls were just not convenient. There have been success stories, though, like Pearl Street in Boulder, Colorado, and Church Street in Burlington, Vermont. And those successes tended to have a few things in common. They were not in depressed downtowns. They were in areas where there tended to be a lot of students and tourists and where people felt safe. And cities needed to provide a lot of activities, things like farmers markets, to bring people in. In other words, a pedestrian mall could make an already pretty nice area nicer, but it couldn't pull an area out of a downward slide. But having learned some tough lessons, a lot of urban planners, like Reed Ewing, are saying it's now time to try again.
It just is so consistent with so many other things happening today, dealing with climate change and the U.S. obesity epidemic, getting people out walking who would otherwise climb in their cars. It's a small thing, but it's an important part of this big puzzle.
Planners concede pedestrian malls cannot work just anywhere, but they can work to make some areas more vibrant and more environmentally friendly. For the Environment Report, I'm Nora Flaherty.